The New York Yankees and New York Mets, each with a better week two, they're both in second place in their respective divisions. The New York Rangers lead the New Jersey Devils 2-0 in their series, and the series is moving to MSG tomorrow night. To talk to us about that is Kenny Albert, who will be with us in just a few moments. We have all that and more coming your way next on Sports 7 with Mark and Evan. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to Sports 7 with Mark and Evan. It's a special Saturday afternoon edition of the show. I'm Mark Elliott.
And I'm Evan Brandoff, and yes, it is a very special Saturday afternoon edition of Sports 7 with Mark and Evan, and this should be an amazing show we have in store for you all today.
Absolutely. Joining us today is New York Rangers radio broadcaster and Fox TV announcer for the NFL and MLB, Kenny Albert. I believe he's on the air right now. Kenny, are you with us?
I am with you guys. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing, Kenny?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing very good. We're very happy that you're on air with us today. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Not a problem. I've chatted with you guys before and enjoy the show.
All right, well, I know that you're very busy, your schedule is tight, so we'll get right to it. And, of course, the New York Rangers right now are in the midst of a playoff series against the New Jersey Devils. They lead it 2-0, and I know that this morning you went to the New York Rangers morning skate, so I just want to know, what did the Rangers look like at the morning skate this afternoon, and maybe you caught a glimpse of what the coach was telling his players, and, you know, how'd they look?
Well, today was a typical non-game day practice. Game two last night, obviously, a 2-1 Ranger victory. Game three tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden. So all of the players were on the ice. They'll hold an optional skate tomorrow on the game day. But as far as today goes, they seem pretty confident. You know, they're a somewhat loose group, very businesslike. They do have a 2-0 series lead, but they also know that both games have been close. Both games have been tied in the third period, and the Rangers have come up with some big goals against Marty Brodeur in this series. But, you know, you hear the typical cliches, you know, we take things one game at a time, et cetera. And I think their focus right now is only on the next game, which is tomorrow, as the series returns home to Madison Square Garden, and they seem excited about that. The coaching staff will have the last change, so they might try and get some matchups that they like, as opposed to the road games where the Devils coaching staff is the last change. But like I said, very businesslike. They're ready to go in game three, excited about winning two games in New Jersey.
Now, the one thing that I've noticed watching the Rangers in this playoff series is most of their goals are coming in the third period. Do you think this is a positive, a negative? Should you really look into it?
Well, I think that's been a huge factor as far as their success against New Jersey this year. You know, obviously the Rangers would love to score multiple goals in every period, but when you look at the history of this series this season, the eight regular season games and the two playoff games, the Rangers have outscored the Devils 12-2 in the third period, 7-1 during the regular season and 5-1 now in the two playoff games, and that's obviously been a huge part of their success against the New Jersey Devils this season.
Yeah, I didn't know how to look at that because I don't know if I wanted to look at it as the Rangers still having energy late in the game or it's bad because they're off to a slow start.
Well, I don't know if they necessarily get off to slow starts. The Rangers coaching staff, we talked to Tom Rennie. He was actually happy with their start yesterday. He felt the Devils had a good start as well. But you know, a lot of it has to do with goaltending. And both Marty Brodeur and Henrik Lundqvist are brilliant goaltenders among the top in the NHL, if not the top two goaltenders in the National Hockey League. So You can't take anything away from those guys, but the Rangers have certainly been able to find ways to score against the Devils in the third period this year.
And, of course, the Rangers leading 2-0 coming back home. What are your predictions for the rest of the series, and should Ranger fans get their brooms ready?
Well, you know, I try to stay out of the prediction business because, A, who knows, anything can happen, and, B, I'm usually wrong when I do make predictions. But, you know, I would say the series is far from over. You know, obviously the Rangers are in the driver's seat now, having won the first two games on the road. But the Devils are a very good team. They had 99 points during the regular season. They have Marty Brodeur in net. I think the key for the Devils, they have to find a way to score 5-on-5. It plagued them during the regular season, and in this series so far, they have not scored a 5-on-5 goal. Paul Martin scored a power play goal in Game 1. John Madden scored a goal with the goalie pulled in Game 2. So the Devils somehow need to find a way to score 5-on-5, and if they don't, it could be a quick exit for New Jersey, but they're going to come to play tomorrow night. You know, I think you can also look at the fact, despite the Rangers' 9-0-1 record against the Devils this year, every game has been close. They've played 6 one-goal games, 4 games that have gone past regulation in the regular season. You know, it's different when you look at Montreal and Boston. Montreal won the regular season series 8-0. They outscored Boston 39-16. So, obviously, the Canadiens had a distinct advantage against Montreal, and they do in this playoff series as well, but from a Ranger Devil standpoint, every single game has been close.
So how far do you think that the Rangers can realistically go into the playoffs if they get past this series?
I think when you look around the East, there is such parity that I think they can beat anybody in the East in a series, and they can also lose to anybody in a series. I think a lot of it, as they advance, you know, should they advance in the Stanley Cup playoffs, it will come down to the health of the team. You know, obviously, if you suffer any key injuries, that will hinder you in a playoff run. I think it'll come down to the goaltending and Henrik Lundqvist. And, you know, should they advance and then, let's say, face Pittsburgh in the next round, which is a possibility, you know, that would obviously be a tough series. But the Rangers had success against the Penguins this year. Montreal, another possible second-round opponent, should both teams advance. And the Rangers have played some terrific games against Montreal this year. They also blew a 5-0 lead and won. So, you know, your guess, guys, is really as good as mine at this point, but they certainly have the talent. They have the ability to win the Eastern Conference, but they can also lose to any of the teams out there in a 7-game series as well.
I think, if I'm correct, I think the Rangers actually have a better record versus playoff teams than they do against the teams that are out of the playoffs. So I guess that's an advantage for the Rangers if they do advance past the New Jersey Devils.
They do have a great record against the Eastern Conference playoff teams. They have the best record against the East playoff teams among the eight. They did struggle against the West this year. They won only one game against the Western Conference in 10 tries during the regular season. But, you know, you look at the teams in the playoffs, and like I said, they have a winning record against Pittsburgh, winning record against New Jersey, winning record against Montreal. The only team they really struggled with as far as not winning the season series in the Eastern Conference is Ottawa, and all of those games were played early in the season when the Senators were flying and at that point were the best team in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, that is true. And now, Jaromír Jágr, during the regular season, a lot of questions were speculating, saying, is he really the leader that he's supposed to be this season? He didn't have an outstanding year scoring-wise. And now, in this playoff series, do you think that he's turning into the leader that everyone expected him to be?
You know, it's funny. None of us are in the Ranger locker room day in, day out. I mean, I'm in there to do interviews after practice, and I'm in there before and after games on occasion. But when you talk to the other players and the coaches, they just gush about Jágr's leadership skills and his work ethic. And, you know, I've watched him at numerous morning skates this year, stay out on the ice after the rest of the most of the players go off. He'll work with the young guys, you know, work with a Brandon Dubinsky or even a Mark Stahl. I remember one particular instance where he stayed out for about 20 minutes working on Mark Stahl's shot with the rookie defenseman. So his work ethic is certainly there. He has not necessarily gotten the results on the score sheet that the Rangers would have liked during the regular season, you know, especially when you look at what he did 2 years ago, setting team records with 54 goals and 123 points. But his work ethic has been there all season long, and, in speaking with other players and coaches, the leadership skills are certainly there as well.
And in addition to that, I think Jaromir Jagr, there was supposedly he was talking to a Russian league about playing there next year, and they were, you know, doubting his focus or something. But I think he's definitely turned it around down the stretch.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone ever doubted his focus. I think his focus has always been on you know, the here and now and the current situation with the Rangers. There were reports that he was going to talk with the general manager of the Omsk team from Russia, where he played during the lockout. He apparently remained friendly with many people in the front office there. But I don't think we have to question his focus. His focus right now is on these 2008 Stanley Cup playoffs with the New York Rangers.
That's always a good thing. And, well, speaking about, you know, the Russian league and whatnot, how long do you think Brendan Shanahan and Jaromir Jagr have on the New York Rangers and in the NHL?
Well, those questions are still up in the air. I mean, Jagr has talked about potentially playing in Russia, potentially finishing his career at home in the Czech Republic. His contract is up after this season, unless he wins the Conn Smythe Trophy. If he's the MVP of these playoffs in the league, a contract year automatically kicks in. So that's still out there. Should the Rangers, you know, go to the finals, win the Stanley Cup, and Jagr's named the MVP, his contract is automatic as far as next year goes. Shanahan, same thing. His contract's up following this season. I know he's indicated that he wants to play again next year. Rangers have a couple of other pending free agents in Marty Straka and Sean Avery, so it will certainly be interesting to watch those scenarios unfold after this season ends, whenever it ends. But I can assure you that right now the focus of all of those guys is on the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Now, hypothetically, if Jaromir Jagr and Brendan Shanahan didn't come back next year, do you think that the younger players on the Rangers are ready to take that responsibility and lead the team to another successful season?
I think they are. I think coming out of the lockout, the Rangers' goal was to develop young players, and it's probably happened at a faster pace than any of us have expected. When you look at Brandon Dubinsky, Nigel Dawes, Ryan Callahan, Dan Girardi, Mark Stahl, Fetter Tuten, Henrik Lundqvist, right on down the line, I think there's no question that those guys are going to be the core of the team, you know, 3-4 years down the line, along with Chris Drury and Scott Gomez and some of the other guys that are here. And let's not forget Peter Peruka, who has not received as much of a chance the last few years due to the arrival of Brendan Shanahan. He scored 30 goals as a rookie 2 years ago as well. And then you look in Hartford. Artie Anisimov had a terrific rookie season in the American Hockey League. Alexei Sharapanov, the Rangers' first-round draft pick, played in Russia this past season. He's a huge prospect. A couple of other guys as well. Bobby Sanguinetti, who was the Rangers' first-round pick 2 years ago, a defenseman from New Jersey. So I think they're in great shape as far as the young players are concerned heading into the future.
So then you think that the young presence on the team would also be able to be successful in future elimination games in this playoff series?
Yeah, I mean, you look at what the guys have done in this playoff, in the two games alone. Ryan Callahan scored the game winner in game one, a shorthanded goal. Nigel Dawes was on the ice at the end of the game. He scored the empty netter. Dan Girardi's played well. He has a couple of assists. Mark Stahl, I think, has been the Rangers' best defenseman in this series. So the young players have certainly more than held their own against the Devils so far.
So who's been the MVP for the Rangers through these first two games?
That's a good question. I think a lot of guys would merit consideration, but I would think you would have to put Henrik Lundqvist right at the top of the list. I think Scott Gomez, who had the three assists in game one. Sean Avery has had a great series. He has a goal in each game. He had the game winner last night. He had a big insurance goal in game one, and he's also drawn three penalties. So Chris Drury has, as far as intangibles go, won so many faceoffs, key faceoffs in game one, played very well last night, blocked a number of shots, and attempted Devils entries into the offensive zone. I think there are a lot of guys you can, if you had to name a Ranger MVP of this series, a lot of players you can point to.
And Sean Avery is another one of those players who's at the end of his contract. Do you think that he'll be back with the Rangers next year?
I would hope so. I mean, you look at the Rangers' record with him in the lineup and without him, and there's a huge difference. You know, I know that he and his agent, his representatives, and Glenn Sather broke off talks until the end of the season, but he's been a big part of the Rangers' success over the last 2 years.
And how would you rate Tom Rennie and the rest of the coaching staff's performance this year?
I really think the Rangers have one of the top coaching staffs in the National Hockey League. Tom Rennie came in 7 years ago as the director of player personnel, and he is the reason why many of these young players were drafted. And I think Glenn Sather named him the head coach because of his abilities and his skills to work with the younger players, and along with assistant coaches Perry Pern and Mike Foligno and goaltending coach Benoit Allaire, they have been a huge part of the Rangers' success over the last 3 years. Remember, 2 years ago, nobody really expected the Rangers to make the playoffs, except Jaromir Jagr at the start of the season. He felt the Rangers would be a playoff team, but they were going to rebuild with young players, and not only have they been able to do that, but they've turned themselves very quickly into a formidable Stanley Cup contender.
All right, Kenny, we're going to let you go now, and we really appreciate you coming on to our show a second time, about 355 days later than last year.
Guys, I appreciate it. I enjoy listening to the show, and let's do it again sometime real soon.
All right. We hope to call on you again in the future. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you very much, and your announcing inspires all of us.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, that was the New York Rangers radio broadcaster and Fox TV announcer for the NFL and MLB, Kenny Albert. We really appreciate him coming on to our show today. He did a fantastic job. And, of course, the New York Rangers will be playing Game 2 tomorrow night against the New Jersey Devils back home at Madison Square Garden. They lead the series 2-0. They've really been playing outstanding hockey against the Devils all season. And through the early games of the playoff series against the Devils. And, really an outstanding job. And I just want to let our fans know, in a couple of minutes, we will be taking your comments, not at the moment right now. But if you call us, 718-508-9443, you could speak to us that way. We just had a brief power failure in the Sports Heaven studio, so our chat is down, our switchboard is down, and we will be getting that back up to you momentarily. So we apologize for that.
Yeah, it's just incredible how nice of a guy he is. I mean, tomorrow he has to broadcast the Stanley Cup playoffs, and still he still makes time for us in the day before that, and he's just a really great guy. This morning he was with the Rangers in their skate for Game 3 of the playoffs, and then he comes on our show. He's just a great guy, right, Mark? You've met him once.
He is a great guy, and as I mentioned a few weeks ago, I went down to the radio booth when I attended the Ranger game, and I met him face-to-face and had a nice conversation with him. Of course, I was speaking to him towards the end of the intermission, so he had to go back and do the broadcast, but he is a very nice guy. He responds to emails very quickly, and he is coming on our show at a very busy time. I think the timing for him coming on was really, really outstanding. And you're absolutely right, Evan. Kenny Albert is one of the nicest guys you can ever meet. And still waiting.
And he's a great broadcaster.
He is a great broadcaster. Certainly one of the best, in my opinion.
He's one of the best guests to have on the show.
He's a great guy. He's a great all-around guy. And it was very nice of him to come on the show today. And the timing was perfect. And for those of you Ranger and hockey fans out there, I mean, he was given a lot of insight to this playoff series. I mean, coming out, hopefully, as a Ranger fan, I hope that he came on right in the middle of the playoff series. And if he came on in the middle, that would mean the Rangers would get a sweep. That, of course, is no guarantee. The Devils probably will come out with a lot of fire tomorrow. I mean, I'm sure they had a lot of fire in the previous games, but the Rangers really have been dominant. First game was much more of a blowout last night. It was scoreless heading into the third period, and Rangers ended up coming out on top 2-1. Sean Avery, Jaromir Jagr scoring 23 seconds apart. It was first Jagr, 23 seconds later Sean Avery, and that 23 seconds later turned out to be very big, as at the end of the third period, with Brodeur pulled, the New Jersey Devils were able to score to get it within 2-1 with just over a minute remaining. And then what happened was what I thought was a very bad penalty call against the New Jersey Devils. So then Brodeur was pulled just to get it at even strength. And then later on, Blair Betts looked like he really had a hooking penalty, but it wasn't called. So it still remained a 5-on-5 with Brodeur out of the net. And the Devils could not capitalize. The bench was angry that the referees called the penalty on the Devils and then did not call that later Blair Betts situation. But the Rangers did come out on top. In that first game, the Devils did hit a lot of posts, but unfortunately did not go in. And I think they hit a post last night, at least one. But the New York Rangers certainly have been the more dominant team, especially in the third period. And again, we thank Kenny for coming on. We'll take a little break. And this is just in light of Kenny Albert coming here, and then we'll get to the commercial.
This is brought to you by MyEDI Media, where media comes to play.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan Live.
Yes, yes, good evening, fans, and welcome to another edition of Torn Apart. I'm your host, Jonathan Huff, along with my co-host, Ronald.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Sports Talk NY this Wednesday night. Hope you're all in for the evening and going to hang with us and have a good time.
Well, hello, everybody, and how's it going tonight? This is Minor League Baseball Radio.
Hey, yo, what's up? It's your boy, DJ Reggie, here on this Sunday night at 9 to 4 p.m. Central Time. How y'all doing out there, wherever you're at in La La Land?
Welcome, everybody, to the Coach Rogue Show.
And what's up, everybody? 7:02, Sunday night. Matt and Dre Radio, back again live, and welcome to the Sports Docket here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vince Lombardi Jr. Show. We are live from Rockland County, New York.
Okay, and welcome. Frank is the sports guy. Welcome to Sports Talk Live.
And welcome to the Cemetery and Shade Mets radio show on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, people? My name is Kendrick Thomas.
And welcome to this showdown here on Blog Talk Radio.
You can't call him that after the Super Bowl loss. Of course,
well,
they still have the Dynasty and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Well,
I mean,
Mark, who is more successful this season, the Patriots or the Giants?
Here's the question I posed. Game one of the playoffs, who would you rather have on the mound, Johan Santana or Qingming Wang?
Well,
who would you rather have, Bruce or Pedro?
Johan
and Pedro are the answer.
And there's, you know, everybody says, oh, you know, this guy's good, that guy's good. You know what?
They're all a bunch of dirtbags, if you want my truthful opinion.
And it says, yeah, I had knowledge of him using steroids, and that's just a Roger, no matter what he says, or no matter what Brian Baskin says.
He wants 7 years, $150 million, just give it to him. He's worth every penny. The guy is really unbelievable.
So basically what he's saying is that as long as you're hurt, it's okay to use it. I have a sore knee. Let me put HGH in my body. Oh, I didn't know it was going to make my biceps and triceps and my forearms three times the size they were. I know, I used it because I had a sore knee. That's BS.
Team that the people felt were the most poorly run after the Knicks were the Nets at 30%. Followed by the Jets at 27%, the Mets then at 16%.
And I guarantee you, if Chad Johnson leaves this year, Carlton Palmer will struggle.
First person we had a chance to talk to was manager of the Wilmington Blue Rocks, Darryl Kennedy. Now, Darryl Kennedy managed Ricky Ball last year for the Royals organization.
Justin Smith deserves to be in the Pro Bowl this season.
I don't think he deserves it because he didn't get it.
And I think one of the big things for the Mets is Jose Reyes. I mean, here's a guy, he had 7 years stolen bases last year.
Right.
He had 119 runs scored, but I don't think he really did anything in the month of September.
Apple has teamed up with American Idol to provide American Idol performances on iTunes.
Once again, Apple with their iTunes shoving it around, shoving it in the face.
Remix by DJ Ray G. Take this out, baby.
Just go to myedimedia.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Kenny Albert, New York Rangers radio broadcaster and Fox TV announcer for the NFL and MLB, was just with us. If you missed the interview, you can go back, listen to it on the archive. You can listen to it at blogtalkradio.com/sport7 with Mark and Evan. Or you could listen to the archive on our official site at sport7withmarkandevan.webs.com. Some of you may be familiar with freewebs.com/sport7withmarkandevan. You could get to our official site either way. Or the newest feature is you can listen to the archive show by calling 1-212-404-5633. You call that number and you will hear our most recent show. And we appreciate John Scheiber of MyEDI Media setting that up for us. All right, and again, thank you to Kenny for coming on. But I want to move on now. We have, you know, just over a half hour remaining in the show. So we'll talk about some baseball.
And talking about baseball, David Wright just hit a solo shot against Ben Sheets, who was pitching great. Retired 17 batters in a row, I think, or something like that. But David Wright just hit a solo shot. But they still trail 5-3 against Milwaukee. And for Milwaukee, guess who's warming up in the Milwaukee bullpen right now, Mark?
I'm just going to go out on a limb here. Guillermo Mota.
Yes, that is true. So, some interesting stuff going on at Shea. And the Mets.
Go ahead, I apologize.
No, please, you go first, Mark.
Well, I was going to say that is a perfect transition now into the New York Mets. And since we're talking about them, Evan, I'd like you to continue with what you were going to say.
That's going to be a problem, because I don't remember what I was going to say. But,
okay. But I will get it started then. New York Mets right now, coming into today's game, moved up into second place. On our last show, they were in fourth place. They had only played a couple of games, but this is now their 10th game of the season. They're 5-4, 1.5 games back behind the first-place Florida Marlins. And
right, Mark, that's why it shows you that the standings don't mean anything. I don't know why you're talking about standings when they've played 1/16 of the season. The Florida Marlins are in first place right now. Do you think they're going to be there in a month? No.
Well,
so,
that's where they are now. That's
do you
the
think
whole
that
idea.
A team that's 5-4 is going to be second place in the NL East? No. So standings.
Well, the whole idea of a weekly show is to say what's going on in the previous week and the upcoming week, and in a month when we have our show, I will say the new standings. That's pretty much how it works. So for this week, Saturday, April 12th at 3:28 p.m., the New York Mets are 5-4 and in second place behind the first place Marlins. And tune back to our show in a month when I update the standings again. Now, I just want to state some problems that the New York Mets are having, and to no surprise, it is a bit with pitching. And the problem that they're having is that the starting pitching is not really being able to go deep into games. And that's a problem because Willie Randolph cannot constantly go to the bullpen and bring in guys like Heilman who are going to struggle. I mean, it's a big problem. You can't, I'm just kind of curious to what Willie Randolph is going to do later on in the season. Of course, the guy pitching today for the New York Mets, Johan Santana, is a guy that you could trust.
Oh, maybe, though. He didn't really have such a great day today.
Not a great day today is true, and I guess further proving that the starters are not going deep. And I don't think John Main, I believe it is, hasn't allowed a run, or somebody hasn't allowed a run
Oliver
yet.
Oliver Perez.
Oliver Perez, so that's my mistake. So that's that's their third starter. That's a good thing. But if the Mets are going to have to go to their bullpen constantly this early in the season, their arms are going to get tired, and I don't know if it's going to be another collapse, because if your starters aren't doing anything early, then you're going to fall early. But it's going to lead to bad things for the New York Mets, and you can't keep using your bullpen if you want to make the playoffs. What are your thoughts on the Mets pitching, Britt?
Yeah, I agree. And a bigger problem than that is the injuries. Pedro's out, El Duque's injured, and neither of them really have a timetable of when they're going to return. That's a big problem for the Mets when they're supposed to be the best team in the National League, Delgado says, and they can't pitch. Without pitching, you're nothing. And the Mets don't have the pitcher right now to be a top team. Like you said, their pitchers aren't going deep into the ball game, and Johan is supposed to be their ace. You watch his stuff; he doesn't look incredible. He let up 5 runs today, I believe. I'm not sure how many of them were earned. I wasn't really concentrating on the game, but he's getting outpitched by a Bench Eats today, who's also an outstanding pitcher, but for the amount of money Johan gets, and this is his first time pitching in Shea this season, I expect more from him. What do you think, Mark?
That is true. He is making his debut with Shea, and, you know, coming in front of the home crowd, that's when the butterflies come through, and Johan Santana has not done well under the pressure today, and that's certainly an issue. Of course, it is still early on, as you mentioned before, Evan, and it is only his first start at Shea. But when you look at it, you want to make a good impression on the Mets fans when you go home to them. But it's early; he can easily alleviate that pressure. And of course, the big difference this year in the National League, you know, you look at pros and cons. He's not in the American League anymore, so he's facing number 9 hitters, which are pitchers, so that's certainly easier on him, doesn't have to deal with a DH. And on the other hand, you come home to Shea Stadium, and today in New York, it's kind of a muggy, cloudy day. It's not that cold or anything, but, you know, he used to go back home in Minnesota, and he'd be underneath a roof, and that, of course, is not the case.
Yeah, but he made a horrible play before. It was... Well, two things. One, Jason Kendall is actually the 9th batter from Milwaukee. So they bat their catcher 9th instead of the pitcher. I'm not exactly sure why. But another thing is, before in the game, I don't know if you were watching, Mark, but Milwaukee had a runner had Hart on 3rd. And I think it was 1st and 3rd or 2nd and 3rd. Ben Sheets was up. And he bunted it was 1st and 3rd, and he bunted to bring the runner from 1st just to 2nd. But, what was I going to say? I'm sorry. All right, so he bunted. He tried to bunt the runner over. And then Johan, he fielded the ball, and David Wright was also charging, so there's no one at 3rd base covering the base. And Hart saw this. He went halfway down the baseline, and Johan, instead of checking the runner, he just threw it to 1st, and that cost them a run. It was not very well thought out by Johan Santana, and I was very disappointed in him.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to look at the positive side of that, at least Johan, I mean, you don't want him making fielding errors. I mean, Johan Santana's not Mike Messina, because he's got a lot of gold gloves or anything, but, you know, a fielding play and pitching are certainly different, and, you know, a bad defensive play, and of course, he has 4 earned runs today, Johan Santana. So that's 2 bad things, but overall, you know, you're not going to base Johan Santana on his defensive ability, more so on
his
pitching ability.
Yeah, but that could have easily prevented a run. It
no,
could
absolutely,
easily
you're
be
right.
4-3 right now, not 5-3.
No, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. You know, you want everybody who's out there in the infield and the outfield, you know, you want them to be able to make plays no matter who they are. But, you know, overall, you know, you want your pitchers to get strikeouts, to get people out, you know, through ground balls and whatnot. But Johan Santana is doing a bad job today and for the first time in front of the home crowd. And it's bad. Now, I just want to inform all of our viewers, if you tuned in late, if you tuned in pretty much after 3:15, you did miss Kenny Albert. He was on for the first 15 minutes of the show. And if you want to hear that, you can listen back to the archive. He's got great Rangers insight, gave us a preview of tomorrow's game and the rest of the series, talked about the first 2 games of the Rangers-Devils series. And also, you want to contact us throughout the show, you can do that in a couple of ways. If you have a Blog Talk Radio account, you could simply talk to us in our Blog Talk Radio web chat, which is open, and you could easily talk to us there. We're constantly looking at that. You could also pick up the phone and call us at 718-508-9443. And momentarily, you'll be able to IM us on AOL Instant Messenger at gmen1021-1780. We'll take your comments on the Yankees, Mets, Giants, Jets, Rangers, Islanders, and the Knicks. Whatever it is you want to talk about, New York-wise, we're happy to answer your questions or hear your insights. Or if you missed the Kenny Albert interview and, you know, you're curious on maybe what he said, we'll gladly recap that for you. So feel free to do that. Don't be shy. Evan got his biting problem sorted out a few years ago, so he does not bite anymore. So you could feel free to contact us. It's not a problem at all.
Yes, I'm going to bite them over the phone and internet, Mark. That used to be my problem. I couldn't resist.
Thank you very much, Evan. And you're right, so I'm glad that you, I'm glad you got that sorted out now. Another problem with the New York Mets, just talking about their pitching, moving into their hitting. Alfonso Soriano struggling a bit. Excuse me, not Soriano, Jose Reyes. I don't know why I said Soriano. Jose Reyes struggling a bit offensively for the New York Mets, and he is not playing today. He's batting .205 on the season. He has 6 RBIs, but he's currently on the bench for this game. And, you know, when you have pitching that's not going to go deep into the game, as we discussed a bit earlier, and when you have your big hitters like Jose Reyes who are not going to perform well offensively, it's going to lead to problems. And, yes, the Mets are in second place right now, and it is early. But and the Mets are losing today, and it's very bad. I mean, today leading off is Angel Pagan, who has shown to be very good. I mean, I don't know if he's one of those really star players, but Mets fans really like him. And Angel Pagan has really proven himself both offensively and defensively, in my opinion. So that's good, good young player. Today he's 1-for-4 with a run, but a good player nonetheless.
Yeah, just about Angel Pagan. I mean, this doesn't really say a lot, but it just shows that he is popular by the fans. The Mets had a little bit of a survey that you text in, who would you rather bat second, which when Jose Reyes comes back to the lineup, would you rather Angel Pagan or Luis Castillo batting second in the lineup? And 73% voted for Angel Pagan. So he is a fan favorite.
He's starting off the season very well. As I said, they're 5-4, so this is the Mets' 10th game of the season, and you know, it was really in 9 games that Angel Pagan has 10 RBIs and has 13 hits and 35 at-bats, which is a .371 average. So Angel Pagan, he hasn't hit any home runs, but you know, you don't need to. You know, 10 RBIs and a .371 average, driving in runs, getting on base. That's exactly what you expect out of a player. So Angel Pagan has got off to a really outstanding start, who's leading off today. And Jose Reyes with only 8 hits and 39 at-bats and only that 1 stolen base. Of course, he hasn't been on base that much. So, you know, it's an issue, and it's something that the Mets will have to sort out. I'm sure Willie Randolph, or at least the fans, will want Willie Randolph to make some moves towards the trading deadline or, you know, maybe call some people up out of the Mets farm system. And you know, hopefully they can improve their pitching that way.
Well, going to the season, everyone thought that the Mets were going to have the best pitching staff in years. So it's just incredible that now you're talking about making moves in order to make the pitching staff better. They have the arms there.
Yeah, you're right.
They just need to pitch like they can. You know, I mean, you go through their pitching staff, even with Pedro out, they still have a pretty strong pitching staff with Pedro and Oliver Perez and John Main. They have the arms, but
they do. They have an excellent pitching staff. you know, on paper. And, you know, Johan Santana in his first two starts was very good. You know, today, not so much. And as we mentioned before, Oliver Perez has yet to give up a run. So there are positives there, but they lately over the last few games, the pitching is not going deep into games, and they're going into their bullpen, and you can't use everyone in your bullpen very early in this part of the season, because when it comes September, you can't have tired arms. I mean, it's not going to help you.
Well, now I think we should move into a pitcher who has been pitching incredible lately. I don't know if he had an incredible game last night. Do you know who I'm talking about now, Mark?
Is he from Taiwan?
Indeed he is.
So I'm going to take a wild guess and say Chin-Ming Wong.
Yes, that is correct. Who threw a two-hitter last night for the Yankees against Boston.
How cheap was that second hit? I don't remember who it was, but in the ninth inning, he bunted his way on. I mean, that's just proving, okay, we can't get a hit, so let me just bunt it down the third baseline and get on base. That was so frustrating after just one hit early on, which was an infield hit, and then the bunt. I mean, still, though, an excellent job.
How many walks did he have?
He had zero walks. He actually threw 93 pitches, 61 of them for strikes. He had an outstanding day, and you talk about pitchers, you know, you talk about the Mets who are going into their bullpen too much. Well, yesterday, Chin-Ming Wong going a complete two-hitter. The Yankees won the game, and, I mean, what a beautiful job that was by the New York, by Chin-Ming Wong. Stellar performance, and he's 3-0 now. And, you know, you talk about an ace, and that is an ace. I mean, unbelievable, Chin-Ming Wong, and you gotta give him credit. Beautiful job. Now, a lot of balls were hit hard. He's a sinker ball pitcher. You used to ground balls, and there were a lot of kind of line drive, fly ball outs. I mean, if you want to read into that, you can. But the fact of the matter is that he only let up two hits, and he did such a good job. And, you know, I'm happy about that. First of all, because it was against the Boston Red Sox, the Yankees' biggest rival. And also due to the fact that tonight for the New York Yankees, or really right after our show, the Yankees have a 4 o'clock game. Mike Messina is pitching, and anyone who listens to the show on a consistent basis knows how much I hate Mike Messina.
All three of you.
Yeah. And
we get a lot of listeners, actually, especially archive listeners, over 130 every week. But you know, all of you that listen to this on a consistent basis know how much that I hate Mike Messina. I keep telling you that he's not going to get more than 8 wins this season. And I still believe that. He hasn't done, you know, too bad. He's 1-1 this season, just a 3.09 ERA in 11 and two-thirds innings. But, you know, not fantastic by any means. 2 starts, only 11 and two-thirds innings. I mean, you'd like to see, you know, 6 innings, 7 innings, so 12 or 14. So he did come very close to 12. But you like to, you know, with the way the Yankees' bullpen is set up right now, and, you know, the reason I'm happy that Chin-Ming Wong went deep is because I have a feeling the bullpen is going to be used a lot tonight, is, you know, you look at it, and Mike, and it's set up where you hope that your pitcher could go 7 innings, and then you have Jabba in the 8th and Mariano Rivera in the 9th. And that's really what the Yankee fans and coaching staff and, you know, whatnot, that's what they hope for day in and day out. But although it's the way that some guys in the bullpen have been producing, not Farnsworth and not Hawkins, but if you look at guys like Brian Bruni or Treiber, you know, those guys could go 2 innings. If they have to, and Brian Bruni really is off to an outstanding start. I mean, he's doing very well.
He even started a game.
He did start a game because of rain. He didn't want Ian Kennedy to start it. He came in later on. There was a whole issue with that of, you know, why he did that. But, you know, he didn't want to really lose Ian Kennedy, but They wanted to bring in Ian Kennedy after a potential delay, but there was no rain delay in the game.
Did you see how hard it was raining? I was surprised that they were playing with it.
They didn't call it because they're not playing the Royals anymore this season. It's just kind of a one-time thing in Kansas City, so I think they really wanted to get the game in, and the teams don't like to play double headers this early in the season. But, I mean, there were puddles all over the field. The field was really disgusting. But I'm pretty sure that because of teams not wanting to play double headers and the fact that the Yankees will not be in Kansas City again this season, that is why they let the game go. And they were asking the pitchers, you know, how's the mound? And they said it was fine. And the game did go on. And, yes, you are right. Brian Bruni did start it. He's been doing very well so far in the early going this season. So, you know, if you don't get the 7 innings out of your starter and the Jabba and the Mo, you know, you always have Brian Bruni who could give you 2 innings. He has not given up an earned run this season yet in 4 games. He's thrown 5 2/3 innings, has not given up a run. And, you know, that's what you really want. And he doesn't pitch every day, which is good. You know, if you keep seeing him pitch and he's doing a fantastic job, then you say, well, you know, I don't know how much he could keep this up. He's going to get tired eventually. But when you have guys like Chin Ming Wong throwing complete games, or you have pitchers getting to the 6th or 7th inning, you know, Jabba Chamberlain could throw 2 innings as well. You know, Brian Bruni doesn't have to be used that much. And if he continues his success and doesn't have to pitch that often, I mean, what we thought was a questionable bullpen, you know, with Brian Bruni who could go 2, Jabba Chamberlain who could go 2, and Mariano Rivera closing it out, it's all of a sudden not that questionable of a bullpen. And, you know, you have other guys like Ross Ohlendorfer in there, and he hasn't pitched that much at all. But I don't like Farnsworth, and I don't like Hawkins at all. I think that they are both terrible pitchers, and I can't imagine that they'll be on this team the whole year, whether they get released or sent down and maybe come back up later on. I don't know, but I cannot see the Yankees leaving with Troy Hawkins and Kyle Farnsworth as part of the roster for the entire season. I think that would just be a bad choice by Joe Girardi and the rest of the coaching staff. But, Evan, what are your thoughts on the whole pitching situation with the Yankees, the starters, the bullpen? What do you got to add?
You pretty much covered it, but, you know, the Yankees, just like you said, as long as their starters go deep into the game, I don't know if you can rely on Jabba and Mariano Rivera every single night. You don't want to use them every night, but with the combination of them and Bruni and, you know, the Yankees pitching is looking pretty solid right now. As long as their young pitchers come through, you saw Ian Kennedy. I don't really know if you can really count that game as anything. I think he pitched 4 innings, but he came in the 6th inning, 6, 7, 8. I don't even know how long he pitched, but I don't really count that as a start. But Mike Mussina, his last outing was good. We'll see how he does today. Phil Hughes is pitching well, and the Yankees have a good pitching rotation. Andy Pettitte had a solid outing. Everyone's having relatively solid outings. Chin Ming Wong, of course, last night, and the bullpen looking good. So right now, the Yankees really need to worry about their lineup with a couple of injuries. And you want to name some of those injuries, Mark?
I can certainly do that. We have Derek Jeter, who I believe has a strained groin or quadricep, and you know, he's been out pretty much the whole entire week. They thought that he would be able to come back yesterday, and that was not the case. I'm not sure if he's in today's lineup. I'll actually look that up right now, but an injury to Derek Jeter, definitely not what you're hoping for at all. And, you know, but the Yankees have proven to do better sometimes without Jeter in the lineup. I mean, they have won the last few games without Derek Jeter being there. And in the 2003 playoffs, when Jeter hurt his shoulder, they did pretty well there too. So they have done well without Jeter there. I mean, he's not in the lineup tonight, this afternoon rather. as the Yankees will be off in 4 minutes. Giambi is in the lineup tonight. I keep saying tonight. He's in the lineup today, batting fifth. He's had some injury problems. Jorge Posada as well, but Jorge Posada is in the lineup. Jose Molina has been playing.
Is Posada catching today, or is
Posada is the DH? Posada.
Yeah, Molina is, I think, the best backup catcher in the league. So
very good backup catcher, and actually, my dad thinks that Jose Molina overall is better than Jorge Posada. I don't know about that.
No,
but Jose Molina, I mean, I think he's got a great arm throwing guys out at bases when they attempt to steal. And you know, he's really fat and slow, but you kind of expect that out of a catcher, but he gets hits. And, you know, Jose Molina, he's doing a great job this season. He actually has 9 hits and 26 at-bats, which is a .346 average. He does have just 1 RBI, but, you know, that .346 average, he's getting on base, he's getting hits, he's doing his job, and he has thrown out a decent amount of base runners. You know, I like Jose Molina, and you're right, Evan, he is one of the best, if not the best, backup catchers in the major leagues. And, you know, other teams, when their backups are in, you're kind of like, he's in today. Why'd they give him a day off? But when Jose Molina is in the game, I don't mind at all. I have no problem with Jose Molina being the catcher for the New York Yankees. It doesn't bother me one bit.
Yep, and when you look at the next couple of games tonight, today we have Mussina pitching against. He's pitching against Josh Beckett. Should be a good outing. And then tomorrow they play another game against Boston, and they play Boston again next week. And they have a 2-game series against Tampa Bay, and then they play Boston once again in a couple of games. So, seeing a lot of Boston.
They are seeing a lot of Boston. They play 18 games against them this season, including the one yesterday, so 17 more. So, a lot of meetings between the two teams. And today, if I had to pick, I would say that the Red Sox would get the win, only because I don't like Mike Mussina, and Josh Beckett is very good. But guys like David Ortiz, he is off to an awful start, batting .077. I mean, you know, that's the guy, every time he comes up with a base runner on, I mean, you always expect to see that home run. He just has one so far. I mean, he has 3 hits and 39 at-bats. David Ortiz has been doing terrible, and similarly to Jason Giambi of the Yankees, batting only .095 with 2 hits and 21 at-bats. So, I mean, Giambi's really struggling offensively. And there are some starting pitchers struggling. Now, Ian Kennedy, that you mentioned before, you know, he has a 13.50 ERA. I don't remember how many innings that was through. I had it before. But, you know, if we look at our Sports 7 stat book for the moment, Ian Kennedy, in 5 1/3 innings, has given up 8 earned runs. So, definitely not good in respect to that. And if you look at today's starting pitcher, Mike Mussina, looking in the Sports 7 stat book, in 11 2/3, he's given up only 4 earned runs, which isn't that bad. And I said before, you know, just a .309 ERA. And, you know, he has looked bad at times through the first 2 starts for sure. And, you know, I'm still sticking by my 8-win theory. But an excellent, you know, decent job so far by Mike Mussina. But Ian Kennedy, the young guy, not off to a fantastic start. Phyllis Hughes has given up 5 earned runs in 9 innings. So, I mean, he's looking good. So the starters are looking good. And we mentioned the Bruni Chamberlain, Mariano Rivera, and what looked to be a shaky pitching situation for the New York Yankees is turning out to not be so shaky anymore. But it is the hitting, where he has some injuries, you know, to Jorge Posada, who has to DH, or Derek Jeter, who's, you know, you kind of worry because they're playing the Boston Red Sox. So Derek Jeter, you know, he's got to be hurting if he's not coming back in the lineup to play against the Boston Red Sox. I mean, it's the biggest rival, and even though it is early on and there are 18 games, I mean, every Yankee wants to play against the Boston Red Sox.
So it's kind of like maybe he's more injured than we think, because a guy like Derek Jeter definitely wants to play against the Boston Red Sox. How do you read into that, Evan?
I read into it that it's still early in the season, and yes, you want to play against the Red Sox, but it's more important that you come back healthy and not a little bit banged up. And then you need to get healed at this point in the season. Like Posada, I'm sure he could have come. He could probably be the catcher right now, but they're going slow because it's still the beginning of the season. You don't want to get a lingering injury and then have it hurt you later in the season. And Jeter's played Boston so many times that, yes, the rivalry is still there, but the second time they're playing each other in the season, it's not that big of a deal right now. So I don't read into he's missing the Boston game, he must really be injured. I read into it that they're just making sure that he's not injured. But what is going on with Detroit? I know that changes topic a little bit, but what is wrong with them? They lost 7-0 against the White Sox.
Terrible.
What I thought they were supposed to have the best line. They're supposed to score 1,000 runs. That's like the fourth time or fifth time they've been shut out.
Yeah, I mean they've really done a poor job this season. I don't know what's up with them. I don't know what the problem is. Certainly not expected at all. It is still early. They can turn it around. They're 2-9, but I mean, I don't know what their problem is. And unfortunately, we don't have enough time left in the show to really get into it. But I just another side story with the New York Yankees. Evan, please inform our viewers what happened with the construction of the new Yankee Stadium.
Well, one of the construction workers is a diehard Red Sox fan and actually put a Red Sox jersey in the foundation of Yankee Stadium. Oh, boy, that got a lot of people angry. Now, the visitor's locker room or dugout has a Red Sox jersey in the foundation or something.
They're right in the concrete where the visiting locker room is going to be.
Hopefully it won't be a curse.
That would be bad. But, you know, I still don't know if it's 100% true, but...
No, it's true. I heard it on the news.
Is it 100% true? So, but the way I read into it, it's kind of like, you know, when you bury something, to me, it signifies death. You know, that burying a Red Sox jersey might be a good thing for the Yankees.
Yeah, but you're every single time. I don't know.
The Red Sox jersey is built into Yankee Stadium. I mean, but, you know, I don't know if it'll be that big of a deal.
One last thing. What is wrong with the Knicks? They've been winning lately. Why?
And, yeah, bad time to start winning. Got to get a good draft pick. Terrible job. just 1 minute remaining in the show. Sports Heaven with Mark and Evans, a sports radio show created for informing the public of the latest sports news and insights. Our show is broadcast over the internet at blogtalkradio.com from Jericho, New York. The views, comments, and statements of our interviews and guests do not necessarily reflect that of the hosts. We do not claim ownership of anything used on the sports show, including voiceovers, musical beds, whatever it is. If there's anything you wish to remove, we don't, you know, logos. Anything you wish to remove, email us, sportsevenwithmarkandevan@yahoo.com. Again, thank you to Kenny Albert for joining us, first 15 minutes of the show today. And check out our official site, sportsevenwithmarkandevan.webs.com. It's Mark with a K. And thanks again for tuning into a special Saturday afternoon edition. We will be back April 27th. That is two Sundays. That's 2 weeks from tomorrow. April 27th at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific. Thank you so much again. I'm Mark Elliott.
And I'm Evan Brandoff.
And we will see you April 27th, and for the next 40 seconds, we leave you with Sweet Caroline.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowin', but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer.
Blog Talk Radio.